Blog Talk Radio.
There's a place dear to me where I'm longing to be with my friends at the old country church. There with mother we went and our Sundays were spent with my friends at the old country church.
Precious years of
memory.
Oh, what joy they bring to me.
They bring to me.
How I long what's more to be.
What's more to be with my friends at the old country church. As a small country boy, how my heart beat with joy when I knelt in the old country church. And the Savior above, by His wonderful love, saved my soul in the old country church.
Precious years of memory. Oh, what joy
they bring to me.
How I long
what's more to be with my friends at the old country church. My thoughts make me weep, for so many now sleep in their graves near the old country church. And sometime I may rest with the friends I love best in a grave near the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
Well, good morning, everyone, and greetings in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let us go to the Father in prayer. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, once again, as we open your word this morning, we're asking for the presence of the Holy Spirit to be with us. Father, give us a blessing this morning here in this home, Father. You know our needs, each and every one of us. We're asking for those needs to be fulfilled, Father. Help us to walk closer to the Lord Jesus Christ than ever before. Make us straight, Father, on that path of righteousness. Now be with us, Father, throughout the remainder of this service. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Brother Dennis.
All right. Good morning. So, okay?
Yeah, let me sit here.
You have the thinking, which is always a dangerous proposition.
That'll get you in trouble.
Yeah, it will. But, you know, it's coming up on Passover time, so I was reading just on my own, reading about Passover and stuff. And then I've made it perfectly clear that, you know, I think studying the end times is more my ball of wax than anyway. And I've heard my whole life how, you know, the Exodus is just a foreshadowing, and Paul says it as well, a foreshadowing of the things to come and things of that nature. But I think people have been overlooking some of the more obvious things and not dealing with, they've been dealing with the effect and not the cause, so to speak. Because I've seen something when I was reading this that I'd never seen before. I've read it, but it just never clicked. I'm sure if it didn't click with me, it didn't click with a lot of other people, because I've actually asked a couple of people what they've seen out of all this. And they were seeing the same things that I had previously seen. So I'm going to do one thing real quick before I read. I'm going to read a passage. And then I'm going to go over, because if we read the whole full thing, that's like three chapters, and I don't think we've got time to read three chapters. But I'm going to go over the 10 plagues first. The first one, and I'm just going to abbreviate them. Right, so you got the first plague is water turned to blood. Then the second plague is gnats or lice. One version says gnats, another version says lice, so we'll just call it insects. You got another one that definitely says flies, you know. And then you got another one, the fifth one, that's all the livestock dies. And then the sixth one, the dust turns into boils. You got another one where you got the hail and fire mix coming down. And then the eighth one is the locust. And then the ninth one is darkness. And then the tenth one, obviously, is the first one being killed. And then let me read. I'm going to read to you just real quickly. I'm going to go over the six seals, the six trumpets, and the six bowls. And you'll notice that some of them are exactly the same and some of them are not. And this is just an abbreviated version of them. First, you get the first rider, which is the conqueror and conquer. The second one is peace taking. The third one is basically high inflation, you know, food shortages and things of that nature. That sounds real familiar right now. Mm-hmm. The fourth one, you got a quarter of, you know, death in Hades, where a quarter of the world's population is killed. The fifth one is martyrdom. And then the sixth one is the sun and the moon turn dark. And then on the trumpets, those are the seals. These are the trumpets. You get fire mixed with blood coming down, and it kills a third of their population. And then you got a third of the sea that's turned to blood. Then you got a third of the rivers and springs where all the fresh water is turned bitter. A third of the sky is darkened. You got the locusts from hell, you know, the ones that come up out of the bottomless pit. They're released to torment men who had the mark. You got the four angels that were bound in the Euphrates. They come, they're released, and they kill a third of the people. And then the seventh seal, or the seventh trumpet, is obviously the kingdom of the world is turned over to the kingdom of Christ. And then the bowls. Then you get the six bowls. You have boils or sores on the people who took the mark. All of the sea turns to blood and all the life in it dies. All of the fresh water turns to blood. All of the sun is darkened. You get the frogs that come out of the beast, the Antichrist, and the prophet. So a couple things that are in each one of them. You get the hail and the fire, and one is blood, but the hail coming down. You get the darkness. You get the frogs. You get the blood in the water. So not necessarily in those orders as it's in the 10 things, but those are mentioned. Those are some of the same things that are mentioned. But the one thing that everybody fails, all they want to talk about is the result. They don't want to talk about the cause. And that's what I want to concentrate on today, is the cause. And one of the things that is the cause is look around the room. I mean, seriously, we got a handful of people here. There may be a handful of people online listening. There may be a handful currently listening on YouTube. If this is, do you ever wanted to present a case for the world we live in being lukewarm? I mean, this is blatantly it. Now, you take the Muslims, for example. They pray five times a day, every day. Certain times a day, they stop and they pray. You got the Buddhists, they do the exact same thing. You got whatever even freaking atheists do it, you know?
Set time.
Yeah. I mean, even atheists, whether they think they're, I mean, everybody's worshiping their God more than we are.
Sure.
And that's what I wanted to talk about. So, and like I say, I overlooked this. I've read it a dozen times I know of, and I overlooked this one little thing. And it, I'm going to read this for you. Right. For I pass through the land of Egypt this night, and I will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against the God, and against all the gods of Egypt. I will execute judgment. And that's the thing that everybody misses, all the gods of Egypt. So it sent me out on a search. And lo and behold, so I just read to you what the 10 plagues were. Now I'm going to go over what the gods of Egypt were. And I'm only going to go over 10 of them because we're only talking about 10 plagues. But you would be amazed when you compare the gods of Egypt to the plagues. And that's what nobody's paying attention to. You got the first one, and I'm going to butcher their names. I'm going to butcher them bad. But you got Hapi or Hapi, which was the god of the Nile. The first one is the Nile got turned to blood. Yeah, Heket, which was the god of fertility and water and renewal. And you may say, well, that don't mean nothing. Well, whenever they depict this god, he's got a frog's head. You got Geb, the god of the earth, and or dust. The dust turns to the lice. Kapri or Kapri, the god of creation, and this is, you know, where you had the swarms of flies. Okay, well, guess what his head was? It was a fly's head. You got Hathor, the god of love. So the god of love and protection. And this one was where all the livestock died. And guess what this one's got? Got a head of a cow. And then you got, now this one here, I don't know if, because we've all heard of Isis, but there's another name slid in there as well, and it was, yeah, I can't pronounce it, so I'm just going to say Isis. But it was the god of medicine and peace, and that was the one that had the dealing with the boils. And you got Nut, or Newt, which was the god of the sky. And that's when the hail rained down and fire and stuff. And you got Seth, the god of storms and chaos. And then what happened? You had all the locusts come out of the sky. And then you had Ra, the sun god. And what happened with him? The sky turned dark, turned black. And then you had Pharaoh, which is supposedly the incarnation of all those together. And what happened to him? His firstborn died. But that's not even the most interesting part of it. So you got all these different gods out there. Well, let's go to chapter 7. All right, actually, and we'll read first couple of parts of this, because there's a couple of things in here that I want to point out as we're reading it.
Yeah, Exodus.
Yeah, chapter 8. Exodus chapter 8. No, chapter 7. I'm sorry. All right, so, all right, And the Lord said unto Moses, see how I have made thee a God to Pharaoh. And Aaron thy brother shall be thy prophet, and thou shalt speak all that I command thee. And Aaron thy brother shall speak unto Pharaoh that he shall send the children out of Israel into the land. And I will harden Pharaoh's heart and multiply my signs and my wonders in the land of Egypt. But Pharaoh shall not hearken unto you, that I may lay my hand upon Egypt and bring forth mine armies and my people and the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt by great judgments. And all the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord when I stretch forth my hand upon Egypt and bring out the children of Israel from among them. And Moses and Aaron did as the Lord had commanded them. So they and Moses was fourscore years old, 80 years old, and Aaron fourscore and 3 years old, 83, when they spake unto Pharaoh. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron, saying, when Pharaoh shall speak unto you, show a miracle for you, and then thou shalt say unto Aaron, take thy rod and cast it before Pharaoh, and it shall become a serpent. And Moses and Aaron went in unto Pharaoh, and they did so, as the Lord had commanded. And Pharaoh cast down his rod before Pharaoh and before his servants, and it became a serpent. Then Pharaoh also called the wise men and the sorcerers, now the magicians of Egypt. They also did in like manner with their enchantment. Let's stop right there. So one of the good things about living in today's world is they have a lot of this stuff online, and you can actually pull up the original Hebrew and see what they say, and you can cross-reference all these things. And while calling them wise men and sorcerers and magicians is certainly not wrong, they should have added one more, at least for people in our time, because it would make a little bit more sense. They were actually priests, and they were priests to all the different gods that was out there. And that would, at least in my mind, make it a little more easier. But that, whenever you cross-reference all this stuff, that was just another name that was listed, was a priest. So these were the priests for Pharaoh of all the different gods that they had in front of them. For they cast down every man his rod, and they became serpents. And Aaron's rods swallowed up their rods and hardened Pharaoh's heart. And I don't really think using the word hardened, because that puts a whole different connotation on there. Using the word hardened is a good way of saying that, because whenever Aaron threw his rod down, it turned into a snake or serpent, whatever you want to call it, and they threw theirs down. Well, what it did is it convinced Pharaoh that your God's no better than mine. I look at ours. I mean, look, our gods can do this too, which brings up a whole nother point. A whole nother point at all altogether, which is what I was trying to get at. And I'm not going to get deep into what I'm fixing to say, just something to ponder on. Everybody thinks that people in today's world is a lot smarter than they were back then. Just because we have knowledge at our fingertips with computers and stuff, they think that, you know, because we got all this knowledge that we're smarter. But I have news for you. Knowledge and intellect are not the same thing. They had a whole heck of a lot more intellect than we do today. We're not evolving, we're devolving. All right, so so whether you want to use it from a secular point of view that these people were magicians and were used to doing them as tricks, which I don't know how you could do that as a trick, but that's what the secular world wants to think of. Or if you want to think of it from a spiritual world, because that's what we're dealing with here, because, you know, tells us point blank that we're not fighting against flesh and blood, spirits and spirituality and all that stuff, that this was some of the ancient arts that when the fallen angels came down, that was still some of that ancient arts that they had taught mankind at that time. And thank goodness over time a lot of that was lost, but nonetheless, that's what they're talking about. I mean, it was black magic. It was some dark stuff that they were doing there. And as we go through, you'll see a little bit more of that. For they cast down every man, and he hardened Pharaoh's heart, that he hearkened not unto them, as the Lord had said. And the Lord said unto Moses, Pharaoh's heart has been hardened. He refuses to let the people go. Get thee unto Pharaoh in the morning, lo, and go without unto the water, and thou shalt stand by the river's bank against he come, and the rod which he has turned to the servants shalt thou take in thine hand. And thou shalt say unto him, the Lord God of Hebrews hath sent me unto thee, say, let my people go, that they may serve me in the wilderness. And behold, hitherto thou wouldest not hear. Thus says the Lord, in this thou shalt say, thou shalt know that I am the Lord. Behold, I will smite with the rod that is in my hand upon the waters which are in the river, and they shall be turned to blood. And the fish that is in the river shall die, and the river shall stink, and the Egyptians shall loathe to drink the water of the river. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying to Aaron, take thy rod, stretch out thy hand upon the waters of Egypt, and upon the streams, and upon the rivers, and upon their ponds, and upon all the pools of water, that they may be blood, and that there may be blood throughout all the land of Egypt, both in vessels of wood and vessels of stone. And Moses and Aaron did so as the Lord commanded, and he lifted up the rod and smote the waters that were in the river in the sight of Pharaoh and in the sight of his servants, and all the water that were in the river were turned to blood. And the fish that was in the river died, and the river sank, and the Egyptians could not drink the water of the river, and there was blood throughout all the land of Egypt. And here's an interesting part. And the magicians of Egypt did so with their enchantments, and Pharaoh's heart was hardened. And neither did he hearken unto them as the Lord had said. You know, a lot of people don't see that, but it just strikes me as funny. Well, not necessarily funny, but I mean, not funny, ha-ha, but funny as an odd. That the magicians, all right, all their water is being turned to blood. And the magicians, to prove that, you know, they are who they are, does the exact same thing. So they're actually inflicting more punishment on themselves by doing that. But nonetheless, they did it. So now there's absolutely no water to drink in the land of Egypt. And this goes on for 7 days, as we'll find out here in just a second. And the Pharaoh turned and went into the house, neither did he set his heart to this also. And all the Egyptians dug around the river for water to drink, for they could not drink of the water of the river. And 7 days were fulfilled after the Lord had smitten the river. So for 7 days they didn't have anything to drink. And the Lord spake unto Moses, go unto Pharaoh, and saying to him, thus saith the Lord, let my people go, that they may serve me. And if thou refuse to let them go, behold, I will smite all thy borders with frogs. And the river shall bring forth frogs abundantly, and shall go up and come into thine house, into thy bedchamber, unto thy bed, into the house of thy servants, and upon thy people, and into thine ovens, and in thy kneading troughs, and the frogs shall come up, both on the tree, and upon the people, and upon thy servants. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying unto Aaron, stretch forth thy hand with thy rod over the streams, over the rivers, and over the ponds, and cause the frogs to come upon the land of Egypt. And Aaron stretched out his hand over the waters of Egypt, and the frogs came up and covered the land of Egypt. remember that, covered the land of Egypt. And the magicians did so with their enchantments and brought up rocks from the land. So again, they're just adding to it themselves. Then Pharaoh called for Moses and Aaron and said, entreat the Lord that he may take away the frogs from me, for my people and I will let the people go that they may do sacrificing to the Lord. And Moses said unto Pharaoh, glory over me when I shall entreat thee for thee and for thy service and for thy people to destroy the frogs from thee and thy house, that they may remain in the river on. And he said, tomorrow. And he said, be it according to thy word, that thou mayest know that there is none like unto the Lord our God. And the frogs shall depart from thee, and from thy houses, and from thy service, and from thy people, they shall remain in the river only. And Moses went out from Pharaoh, and Moses cried unto the Lord, because the frogs which they brought against Pharaoh. And the Lord did according to the word of Moses, and the frogs died out of all the houses, out of the villages, out of the fields. And they gathered them together into heaps, and the land stank. But when Pharaoh saw that there was respite, he hardened his heart and hearkened not unto them, as the Lord had said. And the Lord said unto Moses, say unto Aaron, stretch out thy rod, and smite the dust of the land, that it may become lice throughout all the land of Egypt. And they did so. For Aaron stretched out his hand with a rod, smote the dust of the earth, and it became lice in men. And in beasts, all the dust of the land became lice throughout all the land of Egypt. And the magicians did so with their enchantments to bring forth lice, but they could not. So there was lice upon the men and upon the beasts. So this time they tried to do the exact same, not learning from the other times that all they were doing was making things worse. But this time they couldn't do it. It was already bad enough, apparently. Then the magician said unto Pharaoh, this is the finger of God. And Pharaoh's heart was hardened, and he hearkened not unto them, as the Lord had said. And the Lord said unto Moses, rise up early in the morning and stand before Pharaoh. Lo, he cometh forth to the water, and say unto him, thus saith the Lord, let my people go, that they may serve me. Else, if thou wilt not let my people go, behold, I will send swarms of flies upon thee, and upon thy servants, and upon thy people, and upon thy houses, and the houses of the Egyptians shall be full of swarms of flies, and also the ground whereupon they are. And I will sever in that day the land of Goshen in which my people dwell, that no swarms of flies shall be there. To the end thou mayest know that I am the Lord in the midst. Now let's stop right there, because that's another point that nobody ever catches. For years and years and years, I've been told that the Israelites did suffer none of these plagues. Well, right there it says that was the fourth plague. It says right there that all the other plagues, they suffered. But this is the first one where they were separated out. But I will sever in that day the land of Goshen in which my people dwell, that no swarms of flies shall be, therefore, be there. To the end thou mayest know that I am the Lord in the midst of the earth. So, and that's another point that I wanted to bring out, that so the first three plagues that happened, the Israelites also suffered along with the Egyptians. Okay? And with that being said, and if this is a foreshadow of things to come with end time scenario, the big trouble or the tribulation, whatever you want to call it, then that automatically says right there that we as believers are going to suffer at least partly through all some of that stuff. So we're not going to have this miraculous, snatching out before anything starts. We're going to suffer through some of this stuff. And I will put a division between my people and thy people tomorrow. Tomorrow shall this land be. Then the Lord did so, and there came a grievous swarm of flies unto the house of Pharaoh, and into his servants' houses, and into the land of Egypt. The land was corrupted by reason of the swarms of flies. And Pharaoh called for Moses and Aaron, and said, Go ye, sacrifice to your God in the land. And Moses said, It is not meet that so, it is not meet so to do, for we shall sacrifice the abomination of the Egyptians to the Lord our God. Lo, shall we sacrifice the abomination of the Egyptians before their eyes, and will they not stone us? We will go 3 days' journey into the wilderness and sacrifice to the Lord our God, as he shall command us. And Pharaoh said, I will let you go, that you may sacrifice to the Lord your God in the wilderness. Only ye shall not go very far away. Entreat for me. And Moses said, Behold, I go out from thee, and I will entreat the Lord, that the swarms of flies may depart from Pharaoh, from his service, and from his people tomorrow. But let not Pharaoh deal deceitfully any more in not letting the people go to sacrifice to the Lord. And Moses went out from Pharaoh and entreated the Lord. And the Lord did accordingly the word of Moses, and removed the swarms of flies from Pharaoh and his servants and from the people. There remained not one. And Pharaoh hardened his heart at this time, also neither would he let the people go. And I'm going to stop right there because we keep going, we'll go all the way in to chapter 10 and 11. Oh, it's already two chapters. The point is that I wanted to make with all that is it's not necessarily what happened. Again, it's why it happened. And it's the same thing that's coming down the road for us. So if we was to take some of this stuff and look at it, that's what's going to compare it to what we got going on today. And think about some of the things that the secular world, that some of the gods, the secular world, and actually a lot of Christians too, for that matter, are worshiping. And they might not even know they're worshiping this particular god, because, you know, how things all get all intertwined. But in essence, it really is. So let's just take one, the one that I couldn't pronounce that I just called Isis, the God of Peace and Medicine. That's just one. Now we had something, actually really still going on, you know, it's on the turnaround, but nonetheless, we just had this pandemic. Trust the science, trust the medicine, take this shot. I mean, people were being, you know, neighbors turning neighbors in for not getting a shot. Neighbors turning neighbors in because they wasn't wearing a mask. All kinds of stupid crap like that. So they were worshiping their god, and I'm almost going to call that god science instead of ISIS. They were worshiping their god science. And that's all you heard. Trust the science. Trust the science. Trust the science. And the thing is, the people that were saying trust the science couldn't even spell science. They let alone know what it truly means.
Yeah,
it was a scam. But actually, I don't think it was a scam. I think it was a test. But
trying to get rid of paper money, coin money.
Well, that's already in the process.
That's what I think. That, you know, they don't want you touching anything. It's like shit off your money. It's like they want you having electric cars and shit off.
Well, and that was the next little guy that was right. Coming up to all the different, and there's different versions of this one, but this. You know, you got the climate change God. You got the tree hugging God. You got the. I mean, I'm just using different vernacular for, but I mean, it's truly what they're doing. You know, and don't get me wrong. There's absolutely nothing wrong with wanting to make the planet cleaner and safer for the next year. There's nothing wrong with that. What is something wrong is whenever you take. Let's just take the car for example, okay? They don't want you to have a car because it uses petroleum products. So they had rather, instead of, you know, some woodpecker out there may get a little bit of oil on him, or they'd have to cut down a tree so they can put in an oil rig or put in a pipeline or whatnot. They had much rather take some 6 and 7 year old kids in Uganda to dig up cobalt.
Yeah.
And, you know, this obviously kill them because that stuff is deadly. They got 6 and 7 year old kids out there digging cobalt up so you can have a battery powered car. And then on top of that, the battery don't last that long. And they have absolutely no clue what to do with the battery whenever they go there. They have no clue because they're full of all kinds of heavy metals, all kinds of disastrous things.
Looks like our nuclear waste. What are we going to do with it? Store it, bury it, but I mean,
yeah. So they're literally worshiping their God, and they don't care about the human part of it. They don't care about, you know, those little kids of this over there. As long as they can have their phone and their electric car, they're good. Let alone how they're going to power this stuff, you know, because it's all got to be charged up. You know, they already got rolling blackouts, and they ain't even got all the electric cars yet. So, but I digress on that because I'll go down a whole different rabbit hole, and I don't want to do that. And then you got, you know, the goddess of fertility. Oh, good Lord. You know, free love. We thought free love in the 60s was something. It's gone total ape crap now. I mean, they're just going, they're going overboard with it. I mean, they really have. And then on top of that, you know, not necessarily with the 10 plagues. I mean, I could tie it into it, but, you know, you had the Israelites were, and it wasn't because of the Israelites, but this who they're talking about in here. But they were, you know, killing their kids and throwing them in the belly of Baal. Well, they're doing the same thing now in abortion thing. The exact same thing. They're worshiping self. They think they're smarter and more knowledgeable and have everything better than the people in the past when they're doing the exact same things. The name has changed, but it's still the same thing. All these gods that you read about all throughout the Bible are still there. Some of them are even still using the same names, but they're still there doing the exact same things. And guess what? Whenever we go through all that stuff, yeah, we're getting punished for it, but who else is getting judged? Those fallen angels that are doing that stuff, you know, the so-called gods that are out there, you know? And that's the little G gods that were involved in all that stuff. And if you pay attention, it does multiple places tell us that it was the fallen angels that are these different gods that all these different people are worshiping. You know? But I'll go down a different rabbit hole on that one. I don't want to do that. It's, my point is, we need to pull away, come out of her, as it says, come out of all this stuff, realize what it is, open, you know, put your little glasses on so you can see the sign, open your eyes up, see what's going on, and come out of it. And we need to be worshiping our creator more than the creation. And that's what a lot of people are doing at work, worshiping the creation, not the creator. And that, in the, you know, instead of all the little, talking about all the different little bitty gods that don't catch it during the tribulation period, let's just put it the way it is. We need to worship our creator instead of the creation, which is what 99% of the people in the world are doing today. And even the so-called atheists, that's what they're doing. They're worshiping the creation. They don't want to call it a God, but they're still worshiping a creation because it's most of them that are pushing all this green stuff and the tree hugging and, you know, all the different things. And free love and homosexuality and bestiality and, you know, having 900 different versions of what a person is and all this kind of thing. So,
how many gingers died of COVID?
Obviously.
Yeah. Remember, we had all the gingers, then COVID, and I didn't hear no more about gingers dying.
Mm-hmm.
So, it's all a scam. All
right. So, again, what we need to do is we need to spend more time reading and studying and understanding what this book says. And one thing that I didn't mention, I was going to begin to know, and that's what studying the whole book does. You know, it talks about the magicians and the sorcerers and stuff. The Bible actually tells us what their name was. You don't hear in Exodus. But their names was Jannes and Jambres. And if you study the Bible, you'd know that. You got to go to 2 Timothy to get it, but it's in there.
It's there.
Yeah. And this is what I'm saying. The Old Testament complements the New Testament, and the New Testament complements the Old Testament. You got to combine the two to get the full picture. And that's what I've been saying all along. You can't just take one. You have to read them both to get the full picture to understand what's going on. And that's what a lot of people don't understand. I have literally heard preachers say, never read the Old Testament. It's old news. You don't need nothing out of it. That's not true. There's a lot of things in the Old Testament you need to know. A lot of things. And some of it may not apply to us today, but you can still get the gist. You won't understand, like Paul said in Acts, if you don't, well, it wasn't Acts. Acts was reminded of it. If you don't know what the law was, then you don't know what sin is. And the only place the law is told about is in the Old Testament. So you gotta know both. And you gotta study. So I'm gonna go ahead and stop there. The point again, read your Bible, study your Bible, get closer to our Lord and Savior and Creator. And understand that the closer you get, the better off you are. And also understand, just because you may go through some tough times, don't mean he don't care, don't love you. In fact, the Bible tells us in multiple places, you will go through tribulation, you will go through hard times. And in fact, if you're not going through them, you've probably got a problem already. I'm going to stop there. Call that a day. You want to say anything for us?
Yeah, because you know what you're talking about here this morning is still going on today.
Yes.
A lot of people don't know and would be surprised to know actually how much witchcraft is at work today.
Yeah.
And they don't believe that there's any such thing as real witchcraft. I can take you to a place right here in Kentucky where that whole area is filled with witchcraft.
It's actually the hot spot for the whole country.
And I saw one of their witches I knew had quite a bit of dealings with over time. You know, I lived in Tompkinsville. That's where I was at, with the church. And seen her walk right outside the road and get a handful of gravel off the road, hold her hand out and watch it burn.
Mm-hmm.
It burning, and then her hand, and yet not burning even her hand.
All kind of witchcraft going on there.
Mm-hmm. It's real stuff.
And it's getting worse.
Because I put a stop to that. Then her and her daughter was using her grandbaby, which was about 4 or 5 months old, in their worship. Taking her and using her for different things in their worship. Her husband called me. don't even know what's going on. I went out to the house. They were sitting out on the front porch at summertime. I took the baby right out of her arms, walked out in the yard, lifted it up, dedicated it unto the Lord, took it back. You couldn't have got any one of them wouldn't touch that baby for days. They wouldn't touch it. They quit using it. People don't realize. And here's another thing. We talk about church and attending church. We don't attend it enough. And you take this, the three of us here. We are the ministers of this ministry that God gave us. God is one that gave me this ministry. And we need to be closer than what we are even. And we're closer than most. But still, we need to even get closer. Not only in belief, but in relationship. Build the tree of our relationships in the Lord. And as we do that and grow, we're going to see things happen. A lot of people say it's unbelievable. Now, we know some of the works, because you and I have seen some. And me and Kenny has seen some. But still, we haven't reached the point we need to. That's why we're meeting here. I know that. Understand that. Now, there's nothing wrong with meeting in a home. Back in the early church days, there was a lot of churches started in the homes. So we're not the only one. But we need to get closer. We need to get a lot deeper into the Word, which I am. And God's been dealing with me here lately, daily, every day. And I know I've got daughters that have been sitting here taking care of me. That wish I would either get well or die. One of the two.
Very funny.
But because the one through the day, I listen to a lot of the ministers. It's on TV. Now we've got some good ones on. They're few and far between, but we do have them, and we've got more now beginning to change. And get stronger in the Word than what they were. Because I've known them for years. I know you guys haven't seen what I've seen because I've got you by about 40 years. We're pretty close at it.
About 30.
How old are you?
It's about 60.
Well, yeah, about 30 years from here. How old are you, Kenny?
Old enough to know better.
Yeah, but how old are you?
Okay. I'll be 55.
55. Yeah, I've got him by 40 years.
About the same age as Jimmy.
About the same age as who?
Your son, Jimmy.
Yeah, he came in the other day. I was having service here. And he seen us having service, he wouldn't even stay. So I know that the stronger we grow, the less our family is going to want us around. Y'all are going to face the same thing.
Nope, trust me, I know all about it.
But it's, you have to see. You still got some more growing to do yet.
Oh, I know.
Now, you've grown a whole lot since I met you. and you've gotten a lot stronger. You see, God lets me know about you too. Be surprised what he'll let me know about you all. And I know I pray for you and Kenny every day, sometimes two or three times a day. So I know that probably the Spirit's bugging you because I'm praying for you. Understand that. And I ain't going to stop. So you just might as well know that too. Because we are coming into a day and time that man is not really going to believe in what is going to happen.
Well, already there.
Now we're just starting into it. We ain't near seeing the things we're going to see. And he's letting me know that. And it's not that far away. But by the same token, he has still got this revival that's got to go on. Because it is his will and it is his plan for this last great revival. How long that's going to go on, we don't know. He don't tell us. He just lets us know in the last days we're going to have this revival. Well, it's starting. Like I said, I'm watching some ministers now that I used to wouldn't have sat and listened to at all. Now they are changing, and they have grown, and now they are beginning to get the word out. Not contrary to the word like they were doing, but they're beginning to preach the true word now. And of course, they're still lifting up a few, too, and trying to make some great things out of them that really wasn't ministers. But yeah, that's the way things are. But if God is getting ready to move the three of us, I'm telling you this now. I don't know when, I don't know how long. I don't know whether it'll be weeks, months, or a year. I know we ain't got too many years. I know he's not finished with us. In fact, he's just, all this time, since 1966, when he put me into the ministry, he told me back, what was it, 3 months ago, Kenny, I told you?
I reckon, yeah.
He said, your ministry is just now beginning. I was in the hospital. When he told me, he said, your ministry is just now beginning. And then he's let me go through sickness for over a year. But you know, I've still had a lot of joy within myself. And I have learned a whole lot because I haven't had to go through it by myself. I'm not by myself, and I know it. He's right there with me, going through every bit of it with me. And he's given me the strength to make it day by day by day. Doctors told me I couldn't do what I'm doing. They sent me home to just really, they figured that probably I'd be dead by now. They told me, you're going to have to be on oxygen 24 hours until you're gone. You can't do this, you can't do that, you can't do the other. And you see me.
Mm-hmm.
I go sometimes a couple of days, nights without oxygen. Having to be on it. If we have to go someplace, if I'm going very far, yes, my daughter goes with me. But I do the driving. I know where I'm going. Nothing wrong with my mind at all. And all. And I will say one thing, she has taken great care of Dad. She don't like listening to him, but she took care of him.
Be happy you got somebody. I don't have it.
And Dad wouldn't pick on her either. Turn my phone off. I'm going to put one out over there.
Are we done? Are we done with the service or what?